Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Now let me bring it to the neck of woods in the hood. Oh, damn. Show you what we living like. Born it like a man. Finger on the trigger. I got money in my pocket. I'm a uptown. Now let me bring it to the neck of my woods in my hood. Show you what we living like. Ballin' like a man. Finger on the trigger. I got money in my pocket. I'm a uptown. Ah. That's a Neck of the Woods by Birdman and Lil Weezy Ann. Feel like I find a new Birdman Lil Wayne track every other week these days. I found a couple this week. But I was rolling around in my hometown a couple days ago when I found that. Now let me bring it to the neck of my woods and my hood. Show you what we living like. Ballin' like a man. Finger on the trigger. I got money in my pocket. I'm a uptown. Ah. And when I heard that song, I was like, so that's where Drake got it from. That's where Drake got that line. What Drake song even is that? Let me think. Money in my pocket, I'm a uptown. It's got to be off Take Care. Damn, I can't think of the song. When I hear it, I'll be like, yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah, there's so many good... Back when Birdman and Lil Wayne were really popping, it feels like they were churning out banger after banger. You know what I mean? It's just one of those things. Damn, boy, episode 55 of the show here today. Ha, 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 ha. You know what I'm saying? Somebody's like, damn, this shit fire. So I'm sticking with it. You know what I mean? What if we got a little like montage to start the show? I don't know. Welcome to the Dupree Show. Yeah. We back. Do the Wiz Khalifa laugh. Oh, no, I fucked it up. He go, oh, man, it's a different part of the song. I can't do it. You know how Wiz goes? He goes, oh, fuck. I'm doing it in the mic. That's what... He'll be like, oh, yeah, like that. He'll be like, oh, Cali, we, I plant the seed by any means. I smoke trees. Hey, yes. Oh, crazy ass boy, right here. I like the way Boosie crashes out about everything. You know, I feel like people are probably going to always associate this show with that first clip that went viral talking about Boosie. And I went back to that clip, actually, and just kind of like read some of the comments that I maybe didn't get to. And I didn't even know that Boosie actually commented on the video. The guy's got like... What's confusing about it is I think the guy like gets a new Instagram account every year. I don't know if he gets banned or if that's just his MO to want to have a bunch of accounts. But it's very interesting. Torrance Hatch... I guess that's his legal name. I don't know. Torrance Hatch. They say that I'm crazy.
I feel like I'm crazy, but I know I'm not crazy. And my mistakes don't make me, so way God made me say that I'm crazy. And sometimes feel like I'm crazy. Wiz dropped a new album, Cushion Orange Juice 2. Oh, it's pretty good. Some reggae stuff on there. The guy's really, really rapping. It seems like at that point, at this point, Wiz Khalifa just rolls in the studio and he's like, "All right, I'll have 3 hits per session, please and thank you." I think Jelly Roll said that he did a session with Wiz and that Wiz would write in reverse. So like he would come up with the last line first and then reverse, reverse, reverse all the way up to the top. It's the first time I ever heard about someone writing songs like that. Lot going on. Obviously, we had the draft last week. I got to go to the Bengals draft party. It was a lot of fun. I thought that maybe Duke Tobin was going to speak at it and I would get the chance to boo him. He did not. And I don't know. It just kind of felt, at least at the Bengals draft party, in my experience at least, it just kind of felt like nobody would have really booed with me. So I was kind of like, damn, you got probably the biggest Bengals fans in the world around at this draft party. And I got to talk to a few of them, and it's like, maybe they would, if Duke Tobin went up there, because Zach Taylor spoke, and boy, I wanted to boo him too. But then you got to think about it. It's like, okay, Zach Taylor is what Obama was to the deep state. Oh my God. Oh my God. You guys get where I'm going though? Listen, the Brown family, they are, I would imagine that they are people that want their head coach to sit down, shut up, do what I tell you to do. This is what you're going to say. This is how you're going to say it. And if you don't, you're going to be in trouble. So that kind of leads me to believe that as long as the Browns are the ownership group in Cincinnati, you're never going to have that like Dan Campbell alpha male type of guy in the head coaching spot. I just don't think that would be a good fit. Like if the Bengals had to hire, let's say this alternate universe, the Bengals have to hire Dan Campbell as their head coach, the Brown family would fire him, I think. Not due to poor performance, but due to the fact that their egos can't handle someone telling them, hey, the way you do this certain thing is retarded, bruh. They don't want dissent. They don't seem like the type of people to surround themselves with no men. Disagreeable, high testosterone, high conviction individuals. I'd like to test Zach Taylor's testosterone a little bit. See where he's at. I tested at 590, which I thought was low. But my doctor was like, no, it's pretty good. I was like, I want this motherfucker at like 9,000. You know what I mean? Or 900. 900, because I think the highest you could go is like 1,000. I don't know. I feel like with tests, it's like if you get too high, it's almost like heaven in some ways, hell in other ways. You know, because I mean, strong as an ox. Say you're on testosterone supplements. I did them in my day. I did them in college when I was trying to pack some muscle, get up to 240 pounds to fit that mic position. Made me slower than molasses. Couldn't run a straight line. Couldn't run a 40 in under 6 months. I'll tell you that. But yeah, it's like you, when you're on tests, it's like you're eating everything you want, and it seems like you're fucking starving every hour and a half for a big meal. But on the other side of it, you got to do some smashing. I got to be more clear about that. You got to, you know, you got to do some fucking. You know what I'm saying? So if like you don't have access to that and you're on tests, it's like, whew. Angry elf. You know what I mean? Like that type of shit. But I just didn't think that Zach Taylor seemed like an alpha standing in the same room with him. And I want my coach to be an alpha. That's just what I prefer. The coaches that I always responded to the best in when I played were coaches that would get in your face, scream, fuck yeah, unsolicited, loud, a lot of bass in their voice. You know, I respond to those guys better because it's like, yeah, you'd probably beat my ass, so I'll do what you say. You know, like there's just a, I guess there's just a form of subconscious respect when you look at a guy like Dan Campbell. You know, he's probably working out every day still. He's at practice punching guys in the chest during drills. Mike Vrabel's that way too. And I don't think, like someone like Mike Vrabel, I don't think would work in Cincinnati. He didn't work. I think he didn't work in Tennessee because Tennessee's ownership group is, it seems like, from what I've heard, that they carry themselves in a similar fashion to the Brown family. And I think Mike Vrabel was, as an alpha is, vocal about what he thinks the right way to do things is. And I don't think the Titans ownership group liked that. And I think that's exactly why Vrabel will be a good fit in New England, because Robert Kraft, he can set, it seems like Robert Kraft can set his ego aside and say, all right, we got another alpha in the room. We're going to let him go in the direction he wants to go for a few years, see if it works out. And then obviously it works out, at least with Belichick. That's a whole nother can of worms. Holy shit. Did you guys see the CBS interview with Belichick? First of all, he was wearing this damn shirt that had like a hole in it, like right here. It was kind of like having holes in your shirts. Like that's a fashion statement, I guess, to a degree. It's like I'm gritty, you know, that type of thing. But he had the hole in his shirt was just, for some reason, I couldn't stop looking at it in a gay way. You know what? Like I couldn't. I thought he looked kind of meek, and I think the behavior kind of reaffirmed that. Apparently what CBS dropped was about 30 minutes and what they filmed was about 60 minutes. They cut a large portion of it because his girl, Jordan Hudson, I believe is her name, kept chiming in, interrupting the interview. Apparently, she was answering football questions on behalf of Bill, like jumping in before he could say anything so that she could answer the football questions. So UNC officials are concerned about this. They released a statement, I believe, that they were concerned about this. And all I could think about.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. from plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Whole time watching this situation unfold is who would have expected this from the greatest coach of all time? If you were to come to me and say, hey, I know the future and this is what's going to happen with Bill Belichick, I'd be like, dude, where can I bet on that? Because I make a lot of money. Because that don't sound likely, but it's happening. And apparently CBS chose to include a portion where she chimed in, and it seemed to be the most pivotal moment of the interview, where the anchor asked, how did you guys meet? And girlfriend Jordan interrupts and says, is that how British people say that? He says that, I don't know, maybe I'm just being schizo today. They said, how did you meet? And she said, we're not talking about that. Are you an escort? Did Bill pay for you, sweetheart? Did she... How much was it? Seems like a high class broad. You know what I mean? Like, how much was it? How much did he pay? Oh, we've got chemistry. You know, yeah, whatever. Where are my $5,000 at? Where are my 10 bands at? So it's like, I mean, I feel like that couldn't make it more clear that. This girl is an escort. And she linked up with the greatest coach of all time. So she's like, ha, let me get that estate, boy. I'm going to make sure you die easily. I'm going to make sure you don't have a painful death, boy. And I'm going to get all that money. I can't imagine what Bill Belichick's worth. I don't trust what Google says about it, so I'm not even going to look. But I mean, bitch trying to get that money. You know what I mean? It's very clear that's what that is. And maybe Bill is like, hey, that punani make it worth it. You know what I mean? Some men get in that spot where they're like, yeah, the relations make it all worthwhile. Here's my $70 million estate when I die in 20 years. Here it is. And then she'll be sitting pretty. If let's say Bill dies at, I mean, he's in his 70s right now. Let's say he dies in his mid-90s. Give her 25 years. Jordan Hudson is sitting there at 49 with a bag. Bag, dude. Now, I'm sure Bill would leave, you know, a lot of money to his kids, and you know, it's just really crazy. It's a crazy situation. The Bengals got the worst draft grade. Some Bengals fan on Twitter pulled every single draft grade from every single outfit and crunched the numbers together, and according to his analysis, the Cincinnati Bengals had the worst draft grade across the board. Ironically, the Cleveland Browns were on the upper middle of that. So I'm sitting there thinking, all right, the Browns drafted Dylan Gabriel. They drafted Shedeur Sanders. They drafted two quarterbacks. They now have five quarterbacks. I think it's Sanders, it's Watson, it's Gabriel, it's Kenny Pickett, and it's Joe Flacco. So they drafted Judkins out of Ohio State. Guy played at Ole Miss a little bit too. So got a great player in that. I think the Bengals draft has some high upside. I think that round one pick is completely upside because I think the guy had like single digit sacks and single digit TFLs or something definitely in the last season, but I'm pretty sure he was in single digits and at least sacks or TFLs for his entire career at Texas A&M and wherever else he was at college. It's hard to track where all these kids go to school these days because if they don't play, they just leave. Explosive player. Plays from his hips, which is what you want. Fast. Guy's like a damn mule. But kind of seems like a streaky player. The argument is that he can be developed into an every down player. His measurables are very similar to that of Myles Garrett in terms of weight and height and speed, I believe. I don't know. Everybody seems mixed on it. I like that the Bengals are shooting for the moon on these picks. I don't think they're in a place to shoot for the moon. I think they need pieces that are reliable and consistent in their production now. That's obviously the best case scenario. It's what every team wants. But, I mean, we really didn't address the defensive backs at all. Safety room still looks pretty bad. Corner room still looks pretty underwhelming. Edge will probably have to be our strength. I mean, if Stewart works out and we find a way to keep Trey happy, at least for the short term, you've got pretty scary nine techniques on the other side. It's a pretty scary pair of pass rushers. That would have to be the strength of the defense. Those guys would have to reliably get home in big moments on a consistent basis. Because the DBs for Cincinnati Bengals, they ain't shit. They're not good. And the team, the organization has not addressed the need, in my opinion. That's just me. If Geno Stone, I mean, I hope the guy answers the bell and has a better season. He's going to have a lot better season for me to be satisfied with him. Because last year, for all the DBs, they started locking in late because Lou finally played the young guys. For the whole first half of the season, first two-thirds of the season, we had our old veteran guys in those DB spots filling the starting roles, and it just wasn't working. It was terrible. Everybody saw that. And it was very evident, I think, that Anarumo needed to make a change in like week 3 or week 4. I think he made the change in like week 12 or 13, maybe later. You know, so it's like he got fired. And now you got Al Golden stepping in here and saying, look, I've got a defined vision for this defense. This is what it is. And I think Shamar Stewart was an Al Golden pick. I do. But again, it's like how much say does the Brown family really give those below them? Hopefully they delegate successfully in some manner, but you know, it's like, damn. If Stewart doesn't work out, the organization, I mean, that's crazy for me to say. I did think that this draft was probably the most important draft one of the most in the history of the organization, and people are mixing on it. So I guess it doesn't matter what people think if those guys get on the field and they produce and they contribute, but we got to have that right away on defense. They drafted a 25-year-old linebacker out of South Carolina. His last name's Knight. I can't remember his first name. Again, looks like a great player, but I know that since he has not paid linebackers in the past because they were 30, so it's like, what, you spend a second-round pick on a good 5 years? That's not really ideal. The shelf life of a linebacker is obviously abbreviated because it's arguably the most violent position in the game consistently. So it's like maybe they think he can jump in and contribute right away, and I hope he can because it seems like the Bengals are going to part ways with Jermaine Pratt, and Knight is a pretty comparable player to Jermaine Pratt. I think the pick I liked most was the guard out of Georgia. I can't remember his name. I know he's number 53. But again, like, you just don't know how guys are going to work out until they get put in the trenches with some pressure on them, you know? So I hope I'm wrong about the Bengals draft, but I'm not feeling incredible about it. I still feel incredible about this offense. I think we all do. But again, it's like we're probably going to have two new guards in there. If we don't, I'm going to pick it. And then it's like, how do you address the DB room from here forward? Still got time to sign some folks, but it's like, God, we gotta win with these pieces we have on offense. We have no excuse. We had no excuse last year. So it's just really, really, and a lot of the Bengals fans I talk to share the same frustration. So what else? I feel like I'm beating a dead horse here. Let's see. Let's take a look at the Twitter feed. Yeah, I mean, it looks like the Bengals are going to release Jermaine Pratt in a couple days. It's inevitable. Let me see. I got money in my pocket. I'm uptown. Neck of my woods in my hood. Show me what I'm living like. All right. Yeah, we can go on Bengals draft a little more here because I just found a thread. This is on X. I'm just going to read this thread. Teammate of Shamar Stewart says, I'm looking at the tape rather than the numbers. Tape is freaking immaculate. Guy's special. He's a freaking bullet train. And I agree. When I saw the film, I was like, damn. This guy's humming down the line, humming. I agree with that sentiment. I do agree with that. I think film is more important than statistics. I'll take film over stats. Linebackers coach Mike Hodges on what jumps out when watching second round pick Demetrius Knight. The speed, the running hit. There are some flash plays with him that are really exciting to watch. This game is a speed game, and he fits right in. Interesting. Well, and this is coming from his position coach, too. So it obviously benefits that coach's career for his players to work out in the pros. God damn. This thing, you see how this thing just swivels away from me? All right. No, I don't like where that's at. Jesus. Show them what we living like. Balling like a man. Finger on the trigger. I got money in my pocket. O-line coach Scott Peters on third round pick Dylan Fairchild, a guard from Georgia. I kind of pushed and pulled with him in a drill, and I wasn't budging this guy. This is the first time that I've had a player that strong, honestly, in the many years I've been doing this. All right, this is a puff piece. We're not getting anything out of this. Seahawks drafted Jalen Milroe. I still think Jalen Milroe is going to be a good pro. It just seems like that type of quarterback has been really dominating, like Lamar type of quarterback has been really having success. So, I mean, I don't know. I think Sam Darnold's there. Sam Darnold's coming off of a really good season. So, it'll be interesting with Sam Darnold, Jalen Milroe in the same QB room to kind of be like, all right, is this like a mentorship thing? Is this a trade value thing? Or is this like a QB competition thing where Milroe and Darnold are competing in camp? It's real, like, if Darnold didn't have the season he had last year, it's really easy to say, yeah, Milroe's going to start right off the jump. Darnold's going to give him some veteran presence. But it's like, Darnold balled. He played ball last year. So he should have every expectation to be the guy because he's got the years of experience on his side. It'd be really interesting to see how that plays out in Seattle. And I just, you know, stuff like this, man. Like, Jalen Milroe, when asked about teams to pass on him, he said, belt to ass. Belt to ass. That's the best, dude. That I think I first saw that phrase a couple months ago and maybe longer. I love belt to ass. Whenever you're talking shit and you're whooping somebody, you say, belt to ass, boy. Belt. Belt. You know, it's fun. So I like the mentality for Milroe. I like that he came from a program like Bama, played under Saban at one point. I think you got Jalen Hurts, Lamar 2.0, and Jalen Milroe. I really do, man. And then you got old Will Campbell. Will Campbell. Hey, if you're a D lineman and you get one sack a game, you're going to be a first-round pick. If you're an old lineman and you give up one sack a game, you're going to be working at Amazon. He a country bastard, that guy. Damn, boy. Feel like I'm pulling teeth, kind of. It's just a weird day, but we're here. We're shooting. We're doing the things that we're supposed to do for you and for me. I don't charge no fee. Everything you see is free, and that's on me. All right, let's see. What else have we got? Let's keep chugging. Nigga, my woods and my hood. Here's a LSU baseball clip. Pretty electric. Walk off. They got the Tony seasoning advertisement down there at Baton Rouge. The ump giving him hell. My boy just hit a walk off. He's got to hit a celly. Ump's like, no, stop that. Stop that. He's like, fuck off, dude. I just fucking banged on this guy with the dub ski. Got the pink sleeve. LSU baseball is pretty cool, man. It's a cultural thing there, I think. They set a standard of a certain type of atmosphere they bring. The folks in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, they don't play. I've never been to Baton Rouge, but I've heard countless stories. One day I would like to spend a game day there. But for now, all we can do is just hypothesize over what it might be like. Been to New Orleans a lot. I would imagine the culture is pretty similar, if not the same. The food is probably pretty similar, if not the same. And the way the folks talk, I would feel like it's pretty similar, if not the same. What's up, babe? We on a mission, babe. What's up? What's happening? Let's go over here and see what we got here. Okay. Where do we start? Maybe we could start here. The Titans turned down a reported offer from the Giants in the draft. It's just more draft stuff to kind of segue off of what we've already been talking about. The Giants wanted to move up and take Cam Ward at number one. They offered the Titans the number three pick, next year's first round draft pick, and multiple other picks. Titans turned it down. They feel like they got their guy. And I hope that organization doesn't ruin Cam Ward, because Cam Ward is a sweet prince and he plays football. You understand?
Say it like that.
Your boy pulls that bird over at the corner of the bar. She's a solid 9.68. Your mama just made some of the best turkey chili you could ever fathom. It's got the Tony's Cajun seasoning in it. Maybe some whipped cream, some sour cream. Shredded cheese is melting perfect. On top of that, you mix it up, it turns into this beautiful burnt orange type of chili mixture. Your boy pulls up with a eighth of some Zaza on a Friday afternoon, and you ain't got shit to do but bull with the boys and watch Entourage. Get the picture, Norbit. Get the picture, Norbit. How you doing? You know what I mean? You guys know. You guys know. Real ones know. Beauty take time. It don't just happen. Not. I know everybody know Resputa Lattimore is fine. And they're all like, oh, yeah, girl, yeah, girl. Because I don't want her to, like, beat their ass. I could quote Norbert all day. My friend Joe Connolly knows that. Whether it's Mr. Wong, whether it's Resputa Lattimore, whether it's Norbert. What did he say? I think the seat's back as far as it goes, Miss Pusha.
That ain't right. That scientifically proves you was adjusting my seat.
I didn't adjust the seat.
You did, just let it go.
I didn't adjust. She pops him. Oh, yeah, dude. We back in the Norbit bag, dude. We back in that bag. You know what? I remember hearing about all the bad reviews that movie got. I remember hearing how the communist left-wing folks over at Rotten Tomatoes voted Norbit as an F on the scale of A to F in terms of great movies. What's going on here with these folks? At Rotten Tomatoes. I think we should publicly execute the chief executive officer of Rotten Tomatoes for grading Norbit. What a beautiful masterpiece that movie is. Of grading Norbit and an F. Remember seeing that as a kid and being like, all right, so I'm gonna get I don't remember the first time I saw Norbit. I was probably 12 years old. There are like some core movies, you know, at age like 11, 12 that you watch, at least for somebody of my age. And I would have to put Benchwarmers and Norbit at the top of the list in terms of influence. Could quote Benchwarmers all day, but Norbit is my goat. Just all around comedic masterpiece. I mean, you talk about Lord Have Mercy and Pope Sweet Jesus, the two pimps, one of them played by Cat Williams.
That's a special cat, too. That might be where buttermilk come from.
What do you say? You ain't got a buttermilk no more, brother. Because you just got the whole damn cow.
That's a special cat, too. That must be where buttermilk come from.
Oh, man. I'm going to have to go watch that movie on Friday night. All right. So conversation about Cam Ward turns into a Trump impression of why he thinks Rotten Tomatoes should be shut down for scoring Norbit so low. So what you get here on this show. Let's look at this clip. This might be, I don't want to speak too soon. This might be the clip of the week. Okay.
You doing today?
Doing good. How are you?
So good. Thank you.
And I have your name.
My name is CC.
You said CC.
Sure
now,
did.
Is that just two C's or C-I-C-I?
C-I-C-I.
You better work it now.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Miss CC, welcome to Chick-fil-A. How may I serve you today?
Mm. Why, thank you. What's your name?
My name is Simeon.
All right, Simeon. Mm-hmm. Son, what will you be getting? Number one? All right, he'll have a number one.
What's as you today? Wish.
There's a piped up brother right there, dude.
And a lemonade. All right now. Mm-hmm. Now, any condiments or sauces with that?
Oh, yeah.
Polynesian, please.
How many would you like?
Oh, yeah.
Three, please.
As you wish.
And may I have a large Sun Joy?
Yes, ma'am, you sure can.
Why, thank you so much.
It's my pleasure. And is there anything else we can give you on today, Miss CC?
I think that'll be all.
Well, then, Miss CC, that for you will be a total of 1269.
All right.
Yes, ma'am. Now, are you paying in the card or the cash?
I will be paying with the card if you do not mind.
You better rock it now, and I'll get you right here. All
right. Thank you.
So, first thing first, let me say, I fuck with the enthusiasm. I fuck with the energy. You're doing a good job, man. Like, you're giving great customer service. But, bro, don't come to my motherfucking this suburban. Don't come to this car with that bullshit, bro. You too fucking hype doing all that extra shit. What can I drink with your drink? Supposed to take my order so I get the fuck on before these kids get on my nerves, bro. Like, I 10 out of 10. Good job, bro. But don't, I couldn't handle that shit right there. I have been gay your ass a wedgie, boy.
Oh, yeah. Get that man. give him a swirly, you know what I mean? That'll be $5.99. Shove his head in the toilet, you know what I'm saying? But I couldn't be the one to do it because that would kind of be a hate crime. You know what I mean? I can't be the one to give my dog over at Chick-fil-A a swirly because he's too enthusiastic about taking the order. I don't know, but it's like kind of there were certain points in the video where you're kind of like, are you talking down to me right now, motherfucker? I need to get out of the car, bro. I don't like how you said Sunjoy. You got a problem? Let's talk. He'd be like, no, sir, I do not want to fight. I'd be like, well, bitch, that's the last straw. You're done. You're out. You're fired. Oh, but you're not my boss, you get fired. You're fired. I'm sorry. Yeah, okay. What else, man? I don't know. I'm kind of want to get out in the sun a little bit. I'm being really, really real right now. I don't know. Is there anything? This might be.
Y'all can't come visit Critter Land. What did I tell you about us country folk? We waiting on the tree to fall in our part of that, right? Y'all see, I got that old limb saw loaded up. I'm going to get it cut out. I can have it out the way for the county if he gets the call, I'm trying to tell y'all. Y'all, it didn't take me long. Well, Critter Land got traffic flow. It's up to the county now. They better get on the game. They know that tree been leaning for months. Ain't no doubt about it. Power company, come on to there and get my light back on. Ain't got no electricity. But I got some generator. About a good time we promote something, man.
Ain't no doubt about it.
All right, people. Old Chris Lynn done say today, I just been waiting to hear a tree crack right here. That's what us country folks do. Y'all get up and do something.
They said, y'all get up and do something. I like that. Get up and do something. Somebody said in the comments, it says, Southern folks always got beef with the county. Yeah. Hey, man, I cut down this tree, man. The county, they ain't even going to hear about it by the time I'm done with it. You understand what I'm saying, man? I don't know. He sounded like he kind of, he might be in North Carolina, South Carolina, out there in the sticks. And, you know, I just saw this tree come down, man. I got my saw in the back of the truck and just went to work. The county ain't going to work. You know what I mean? They're sitting up there in their comfortable little air-conditioned cubicle. You understand what I'm saying? Hey, before they even get the call, I'm going to have that traffic flow figured out for you. You understand? Y'all get up and do something now. That man, somebody said that man is speaking pure cornbread. Somebody, I saw a video online. I think it was some guy. He was saying, if I learn how to make cornbread, what I need a bitch for? If I learn how to make my own cornbread, what I need a lady for? You understand? I don't need no lady if she can't make no damn, if I can make some damn cornbread. I had some folks from Eastern Kentucky that I know that used to make a variation of cornbread, and they call it palm bread. P-A-W-A-N bread. Palm bread. Hey, that ain't no cornbread. That's some palm bread. There's something different about how they made it, but I can't remember what it was. I was at Thanksgiving with some country friends from Eastern Kentucky. And they brought palm bread. It was different. It was in a little like tin, circular tin, like a pie tin. And you know, it was pretty good. Anyway, what else we got, brother? They finally outlawed the Revo Speed. Can't wear the Revo Speed anymore. They don't deem it safe. So, end of an era there. I remember when that helmet first came out, and it was so cool. It was the newest thing. It's almost kind of like when I was a kid, the Rydell Revolution, the OG Revolution helmet was really cool. Tim Tebow wore it, you know, that rectangular looking face mask. But now I don't even know the names of the helmets. Rydell, they've got all this new stuff. I haven't been in the game for long enough to wear. The Revo Speed was the helmet I wore. Eventually, I got a Speed Flex 360 in my later years in college. And that's the helmet where you don't even have to buckle the chin straps. It's got like the zip tie type of straps where you just like, if you want to unbuckle it, you press a button, it comes undone. If you want to buckle it, you just push them in and they tightens up the chin strap for you. I remember this video. This is actually an interesting video. It's Alex Jones and Tucker Carlson talking about doing DMT.
I haven't done DMT, but I know a lot of famous people that have and others. And the government since the 70s has been doing intravenous drip with it. It just didn't become popular the last 20 years by eating it. I've talked to well-known people off record who have gone to these big DMT rituals at sacred sites because reportedly those are like gates or places where dimensionally they've been doing sacrifices for thousands of years, so maybe the things hang around there or it's a ley line, they're not sure. But if you go there and take DMT, they're having groups of 20, 30, 40 people who are seeing the same hallucination on it at the same time. They basically say aliens come up the steps of the pyramid, or you know, and everybody's seeing it at the same time. They're having
this, maybe it's not a hallucination.
Well, exactly. If this individual was seeing it, it's one thing, right. But then sometimes people in the group even get attacked by these things. Well,
taking ayahuasca
ayahuasca, taking DMT, taking any kind of hallucinogenic drug, which I've done, you know, as a child. But now knowing what I know, I would be very afraid that those drugs open up a portal for something to enter me.
They thin the veil. Exactly. And the Bible says pharmakia leads to conjuring and witchcraft, all in the Old Testament. And it talks about all the other tribes that were sacrificing people, and Jehovah says don't do that anymore.
Have some respect for the unknown. I mean, I'm not pretending to understand any of this stuff. And again, I've taken LSD. I get it. But, you know, I was 15. Now I have a lot of respect for the things I don't understand. And it is a kind of peculiar American attitude that whatever it is we don't know has got to be great. And that's not true. I would be much more afraid of being possessed by something from outside me. I know people whose lives have gone in the wrong direction after doing that, or who've had important relationships dissolve, which is always a sign of evil. You know, God brings us together, dark forces divide us. It was only when I quit doing, you know, anything, including Advil, that I got moral clarity, I would say. And so I do think that stuff is a vector for actual evil, for things entering you and controlling your behavior.
And that's what word for word, as you know, the Bible says that. If you take pharmakia, meaning pharmaceuticals, and that is the gateway to hell. It says it opens it up. Superstition is a respect for the unknown.
Yes, exactly.
When you actually get into the ultra rich, though, and also the top artists and people, they're completely into the occult.
Yes, they are.
Okay. I think when the Bible talks about pharmakia, it's talking about things that are man. It's talking about mind altering substances that are man made. I don't agree with mushrooms or marijuana or ayahuasca being under that. If you're thinking in terms of the Bible, under that pharmakia label, so I think with LSD, those guys are probably spot on, right? Anything that's man-made is going to have our flaws, our imperfections manifested into whatever the man-made substance is. And so it would make sense to ingest something like LSD and have a bad thing happen to you like they were talking about. Now, I believe that anything, any substance, any mind-altering thing that came from the earth, God intended for that to be here. And God also intended for the desired or the effect of the substance. The question is it like an Adam and Eve type of deal where God puts that forbidden fruit there for a reason? And says, don't eat the forbidden fruit, the tree of knowledge, right? I don't know, but wouldn't God want us to have an understanding of what we don't know? Like, I feel like wisdom is understanding the vastness of what you don't know. It's not what you know, necessarily, I don't think. I think it's understanding that you don't know much. So I feel like a substance like ayahuasca would just remind you of that. I've never done ayahuasca. It's something I'm interested in. But it's an interesting argument. There's a reason I wanted to put it on the show. There are so many variations of the argument that could be taken into consideration. Basically, what those gentlemen are saying is that you shouldn't do any hallucinogen. They didn't mention mushrooms, which I thought was interesting. But they're talking about how in the Old Testament, the Bible says you shouldn't ingest pharmakia. It's a gateway and path for witchcraft and evil. But knowing who I know that has done ayahuasca, it doesn't seem like that's evil. It seems like the opposite. It seems like you're able to connect with God a lot a lot more profoundly. So I think where I stand on it is, in the context of LSD, I would side with them. But on the side of earth-born things, earth-born substances, I think those substances are here for a reason, and they have the effect they have when we ingest them for a reason. The only caveat to that is God testing us to not ingest those things? Is it like the tree of knowledge, the forbidden fruit? But what lesson do you learn? Because they mentioned it in the thing. It's like Americans think the unknown is like so cool, and you know, maybe it isn't. But maybe you don't have to know everything. Maybe you have to have it in a frame of, I want to understand the vastness of what I don't know for the sake of my own wisdom. I like that a lot better. And I think maybe some of those substances help you see that when you're in the right frame of mind. I do think you have to be extremely mentally fortuitous in order to engage in hallucinogens in a productive way and beneficial way. I think there's a lot of work that has to go into the self before one is really ready to accept the truth that we don't know anything in the grand scheme of things. And we have to not only be okay with that, but embrace that reality. And I think that's all those substances do, is they expose the harsh truth of reality. And it debunks some of the stories that we tell ourselves about ourselves. And I think if you've done the work to get to the point that you're at, when you say, okay, I'm going to take an ayahuasca trip, I don't think the work leading up to an experience like that should be taken lightly. And I think also you must give it time. That was a pretty big soapbox, huh? All right. Yeah, I'm going to wrap it up here. We're at about 56 minutes. Anybody that's watched to the end, love you, appreciate you. Anybody that's watched it all, love you, appreciate you. Sub to the channel, helps us out. Takes you a second, just, you know, less than a second, really. You just click a button right down there. We're live every night, streaming Madden, streaming college football. So, subscribe so you can not miss those. Pop in when you can. I love you. I love all of you. And this has been episode 55, Dupree Show. All right, brothers and sisters, God bless.